Go see what Yaakov Harami wanted to do. What Lavan Harami wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu. Shaparo lo gazer el al ischarim. That Paro only decreed.
I don't need any more.
Wonderful. Shaparo lo gazer el al ischarim. V'lavan bikesh lakar esako. That Paro only decreed on the males, and Lavan wanted lakar esako. A fascinating concept. What did Lavan want to do? My first deal I want to make over here, I was thinking about this morning in the car, I was thinking about what we were going to do in the Haggadah. Just the first thought over here. Tzei ulamad. What does tzei ulamad mean?
Go
and learn.
I made this.
Wonderful. Tzei ulamad, go out and learn. Now, go out and learn, why tzei ulamad? So I think there's a very nice idea over here. I didn't see this anywhere, but I think it's Emes. And that is, tzei ulamad, a lot of times when there's affliction that's going to be inflicted upon B'nai Yisrael, upon Am Yisrael, we don't necessarily see it so clearly. Sometimes it's overt. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes there's clear oppression. And sometimes, say ulmad, you have to learn into it. You have to learn it up to see what they're trying to do to us, where the oppression is coming from. Say ulmad, by love, and it wasn't clear that he was trying to destroy Yaakov Avinu. It wasn't so overt. You're my brother, come work for me. You're Beseder, come stay here. Oh, yeah, we'll have. Sometimes when the oppression comes and the affliction comes, it's not necessarily like in Mitzrayim, where it's clear they want to pain us, they want to destroy us, they want to hurt us. No, sometimes it's Tzei Ulamad. You have to go learn it out. You have to understand it. It's a sugya. Tzei Ulamad, Ma Bikesh Lavan Arami, Lasos Yaakov Avinu. So that's the first idea over here. So Paro lo gazer al ischarim. Paro only decreed on the males. But Lavan bikesh lakar esakol. Now what? Where do you see that Lavan was bikesh lakar esakol? Wonderful. Shenemar says the pasuk, Arami oved avi. Vayered mitzrayma, vayagar sham b'msei me'at, vayisham legod gadol atzimbarav. This pasuk is found in which parasha? Bikurim, where's that found? Pasha of? Ki. Kisavo, right? Very good. Pasha Kisavo. You want to make a big something with your clicks on the floor? Make me a big surprise? Okay, great. Okay, now you have something else, okay? A really big thing. It takes a long, long time, okay? Okay. Now, this is such a. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, it says over here like this. The Rambam writes that the Iker, we discussed this already once or twice. Wow. The Rambam describes that the Iker... Wonderful. The Iker drasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim is these parashiyos, Arami Oved Avi. And the obvious question that has to be raised is, why is it that this is the parasha that was picked to be the parasha that we're going to dash in the whole time? What's so special about this parasha? This is the one that we pick. This is the parasha we're going to pick to be the one that to dash. And why this parasha? Of all parashas, there are so many parashas talking about Mitzrayim. There's the parasha of Shmos, in Shmos Va'era Bo, and yet over here we're focused on this parasha. What's behind this parasha? That's a very good question. Many answers. Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal wanted to say a very nice thought, and that's as follows. Where is this parasha found? What's this parasha? Like Aaron just said it before. Parasha of Bikurim. What's Bikurim? What's the message of Bikurim? Two words.
Everything you got in the house from Hashem.
Correct. And what do you do when you realize it's from Hashem?
You say what?
Great. You say what? What do you say? You say, thank you. Hakaras Hatov. The parasha of Bikurim is the parasha of Hakaras Hatov. Rabbi said the night of Pesach has many themes. One of the most essential themes of the night of Pesach is the theme of Hakaras Hatov. Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thanking him, we say Hallel on the night of Pesach. There's so many things that focus on Hakaras HaTov, and the Rav wanted to say a very nice thought that we could pick any parasha in the Torah to describe the parasha of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We could pick Bo, B'Shalach, but you don't find over there so much a focus on Hakaras HaTov as you find over here in the parasha of Arami Oved Avi. It's the parasha of Bikurim, the quintessential parasha of Hakaras HaTov, and therefore said the Rav, it's very appropriate that what we focus on over here is that of this parsha to show that this is the theme of the night, which is Hakaras HaTov. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for Thank you, Otcha Hashem Ki Ani Sani. Thank you, Hashem, for the difficulty that I went through. Thank you, Hashem, for the Yeshua, Atil Yeshua. This is a night of a total akaras, a total we have, and therefore it's appropriate. This is the parsha that we darshan. But more here, what does it mean? Love and wanted to be okaras akol. One of my favorite words in Haggadah. I always say that, but it's really true. I have a lot of favorites. This is one of my favorites also. Baba? Okay. So there's another fan favorite over here. I heard this part on a tape like four or five years ago. And Mamash made such a very strong impression on me. Made a very strong impression on me. Right. You made the rest, I'll do the top. Now, here we go. I heard this part. I don't know who says it.
I don't know who.
I know I heard it from. I heard it from about Ram Shore. I don't know who he was quoting, but it's a very, very beautiful thought. What does it mean, love and bigish lako esako? What does it mean, love and bigish lako esako?
Love and bigish lako?
Yeah?
You're just talking about, isn't it Abram got the call with the pizza?
Uh-huh.
That's he got a son.
Right.
So I'm assuming it could be the same type of thing. Having daughters.
But what does it mean, love and bigish? You wanted lako esako to support everything. What does that mean? Something, I have to be quiet, okay? I see you two have to be quiet, okay? Listen to this var. It's a beautiful var.
Only coming from me today is just a triangle.
Okay, but how is that lakar esakol? To uproot everything.
Because he knew that Yitzchak would start with it, would be the jump start, not the jump start, he would be the springboard.
You mean Yaakov? Yaakov?
Yeah, sorry, Yaakov.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yaakov would be the springboard for the entire nation.
Okay.
In Israel, and if he interrupts that, then he stops everything, and they can have the rest of his life with Avodah Zara, and they can be peaceful in heaven.
Okay. Fine, Beseder, I'll take that. Listen carefully, Beseder, good. Listen to this part, what a beautiful part. I love this part. You know what he wanted to do? Shenemar, what's the proof that he wanted to be Okar Sakol? Three words. Arami, Oved, Avi. Translate, please. Arami. What's Arami?
The Aramite.
Let's say, good. Yeah, so we can close the shade a little behind you. Now it's going to be better for you, okay? A little more possible? Perfect. Better now? Not so hot anymore? Oh. Arami, Oved, Avi means like this. Arami was this. Is Lavan Arami. That's where he was from. Right. Lavan's Arami. Oved, what's Oved? He wanted to make lost. He wanted to destroy. Avi, what's Avi?
Father.
My father. What does that mean? Yeah. It means he wanted to disconnect me from my father. What a vart. What a vart. What a heavy vart. Wow. What a heavy vart. Arami, Oved, Avi. He wants to say, you wanted to be a God in the world, I'll give you God in the world. But that God is my father, that I have a relationship with him, that I could talk to him, that I could connect with him, that I do connect him, that he cares about me, that he looks out for me, that he watches over me, that he takes care of me, around me, over there. That's what love wanted to do. God, he can exist, but God has something to do with me. God is my father. God loves me. When I get a boo-boo, it's God knows about it. God takes care of me when I get sick and he helps me get better. Rofei chol basar maflila asos. That, no way, not that. What's the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah? Kol Amar Hashem, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. What does that mean, B'ni B'chori Yisrael? The Jewish people is not just Hashem's son. Hashem's firstborn son. I mentioned in the past, my father, like when he introduces all his children, this is my son, my B'chor. This is my son. This is Tzachi, my youngest child now. He would come and say, this is Tzachi, you didn't my B'chor. It's a joke. What do you mean he's not a B'chor?
Yeah.
There's three older than him, he's my Tzair. But the answer is, Bechor shows a certain preciousness, a certain chavivus that exists between Bechor and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, B'nei Yisrael is B'nei Bechor Yisrael. Lavan said, there's no relationship. It's over. God created the world and has nothing to do with you. And Hashem responds, Kavyachal, in turn, and says, Kamar Hashem, B'nei Bechor Yisrael. Not only are they my children, but Klal Yisrael is my Bechor. Klal Yisrael is the Bechor. Okay, do the rest. That's the first, very, very beautiful part. Probably like so fundamental what the night of Pesach is all about. It's all about relationship. Okay, Vayir Mitzrayim, we go down to Mitzrayim. We live there from Seimat. Now we'll go through some of this. I don't know if I'll finish this whole pasuk today, but we'll do some of these ideas over here. First of all, Vayir Mitzrayim. We go down to Mitzrayim. Anus al pi adibur. What does that mean, anus al pi adibur? Anus, what's anus?
Forced?
Forced? Like an anus? Good.
Oh, with an
anus? Oh, with an aleph? Anus? Al pi adibur. What's al pi adibur?
Upon the word.
According to the word of?
God.
God, right? There's an obvious problem over here. What's the obvious problem?
Force.
How can you be forced based on the word? Mimanoshach. Al pi adibur means that you're going based on what Hashem says, based on the word of God. Anus means you're being forced. Which one was it? Was it forced or was it al pi adibur? What do you mean anus al pi adibur? It was either anus. Very good. Boom. Boom. Either it was anus or it was al pi adibur. How can you tell me it was anus al pi adibur? It just doesn't go together. It doesn't stim. Stim nicht. What's the answer? This is Vayir Mitzrayim. Let's talk about going down to Mitzrayim. What's the answer? What's the answer? We could say pshat.
We didn't want to, but we listened to him.
We didn't want to, but we still listened. So you're saying even though it was al pi adibur, you're saying it was still on us. Okay, we didn't want to go down, but we knew that we had to go down. Okay, possibility. Any other thoughts? I don't know what says this either. I don't remember everything that I saw inside over the years, but I think this is a very nice thought also. On us, al pi adibur is as follows. Sometimes when the word of God is so clear. So, you could be honest. In other words, it could be forced. But it's al pi adibur still. In other words, when I have a clarity, when I'm al pi adibur doesn't mean necessarily willingly. It doesn't mean on our own. It means that we were honest, we were forced. But it was al pi adibur still. It was still based on the dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me explain what I mean by this. Avram mentioned before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sinai Kaf Aleim Hakadigas, Hashem took a mountain and put it over our heads and said, if you take the Torah, great, and if not, you're going to be buried here. What does it mean? It means that we were... I'm going to get away from this. Here it is. That's okay. So what does it mean? It means that Hashem Mamash took a mountain and put it over Bnei Yisrael and said, either accept the Torah or we're going to kill you here. Maybe, but probably not. Probably doesn't mean that Hashem took the mountain and raised it on the head. You know why? I once heard a classic cutesy kasha on this chazal. Who was on the mountain?
Moshe.
If Hashem picked the mountain up, what happened to Moshe?
Crushed.
Maybe he would fall off. I don't know what happened to him.
Supernatural.
Thanks.
I think a guy could pick a mountain.
He could hold on, he could balance Moshe at the same time. Good. But the chorah of the pshat is that you didn't necessarily pick it up. What it meant was exactly this point.
Yeah.
Thank you. Make a bracha. Baruch.
Baruch.
Adon.
Nay.
Adon.
Hino.
Nay. Ola. Borei.
Borei. Mimei.
Mizme. Mizo.
Mizun.
Amen.
Good boy. Okay. Now, all the way up here. The Maran, I would explain that what it means as follows. It was so clear. It was so clear to Bnei Israel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge and was giving them the Torah that it was as though there was a mountain over their head. The clarity that came forth with the mountain over their head was so strong that it was as though they were forced. They weren't really forced. There was no mountain on their head. But they saw God in such a clear way. And it was al pi adibur. But if I say something to you, so you'll say, okay, fine, you didn't say so-and-so. You know, Rabbi uses so-and-so, Rebbe is so-and-so. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Hopefully it is true. It's not muchrach necessarily. It's not, it doesn't have to be. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us something, so then it's al pi adibur, but it's still honest. In other words, it's so real, it's so true, it's such a must. That's the honest. It's not forced, like in the sense you have a gun to your head. It's just forced because when God says something, so it's so much a reality, it exists so much that there's nothing else to do. It's such clarity that it's as though you're honest. You're not really honest. We weren't forced down to Mitzrayim. We had Bechira Chavshis. But Hashem said, you're going down to Mitzrayim. It's in the bag, you know? When Orel took some free throws at the end of the game last night, he had maybe six. I think he nailed six in the stretch, at least four. I think maybe even six in the stretch in the last 2 minutes. He went to the foul line with confidence. The Lobos fans were trying to woo him. He didn't care nothing. He was focused on his game. He put those hoops down. Bang, 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 bang. Six, maybe six in a row. Crunch, 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 crunch time player. It was very impressive, actually. It was going in. You know what I mean? It was like his mind was focused. It was going in. Could he have missed it? He could have missed. But he was focused on his game. That's what it means, according to some honest PID board. That what? That Bnei Yisrael was forced, but it was forced in the sense the D-board was so clear. Thank you. There was such a clarity of D-board that it was as though it was forced. That's the pshat that I once heard. It's a very nice thought about this line that I got. Next, Vayagar Sham. What's Vayagar Sham mean, Tzachi? Vayagar Sham means what? And they?
They
dwell there. Milamed. Shelo Yorad Yaakov Inulish Takeab Mitzrayim El Gursham. What does that mean? Yaakov didn't go down to Mitzrayim Lishtakeya. What's Lishtakeya? Lishtakeya? To become Shakua. What's Shakua? To become totally absorbed. When the concept of someone that's Shakua Belimur, it means a person that's totally, we would say in Yiddish, Arayin Gitan in learning. He's totally focused. He's totally absorbed. He's totally absolved in learning. He's totally focused on learning. So it means like this, says the Haggadah. Yaakov didn't go down Lishtakeh Mitzrayim. Wonderful. He didn't go Lishtakeh Mitzrayim. El Lagursham. He was there just to dwell there. Shenemar, as it says, Vayomru El Paro. They said to Paro, Lagur Ba'aretz Banu. We've come to dwell here. Ki ein mir el atzon asher la'avadecha. Because there is no pasture for the sheep, for your servant's sheep. Ki chaved ha'av ba'aretz kanan. Ve'ata yishvuna avadecha ba'aretz goshen. Rabbi Osei, we know Masa Avosim Elabanim, which means what the Avos do is supposed to be a sign, so to speak, for the children. It's like a road mark, you know? If you tell the children, you know, how to chart a certain territory, how to get through certain ways. If Yaakov knew that the only survival for a Jew in Galus is if he's a ger, he's not a toshav. Every time the Jews throughout the history of the world decided that they wanted to go ahead and build roots in a certain place, the roots were uprooted. It was a matter of time. It was a matter of time. Roots in Europe took a few hundred years, totally uprooted. The roots everywhere, think about it. French Jewry, roots uprooted. Spain, Inquisition, Russia, Communism. Whoa, you're hooked up today. So, throughout the history of Osai, whenever the Jew, there's a famous comment of the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Bichukosai, where he points out, thank you very much, where he points out that when the Jews begin to call Berlin Yerushalayim, when the Jews start to think of Berlin as Jerusalem, it's the beginning of the end of the Jews. He wrote this around 10 years before the Holocaust happened.
Who wrote this?
Rav Meir Simcha Cohen of the Meshech Chochma. And he writes there, like as if to say, we can never lose. Thank you. We can never lose focus of what's home. And if we come to a place and we want to set up roots and become mamish shakua, that's dangerous for us. That's very dangerous. Abosai, I say this in the following, with the sense of the Haggadah coming alive to us nowadays. We're in America. Most of us live in America right now. Everyone was born in America. Even Tzachi was born in America. America is a medina shel chesed. Nothing to talk about. It's a beautiful country. Country that's full of chesed. The way I'd like to describe the chesed of the country is that I have a niece who was born with some type of not my brother, not my wife's side. You're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. My niece, unfortunately, was born with some type of motor deficiency, and our speech is definitely way behind, and unfortunately it's a difficult situation. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this, but just listen. What does it mean, Medina Shel Chesed? The New York State government gives my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's family yearly towards her upkeep and health, $100,000. a year. Yearly. That's one kid. They pay for her shadows in school. They pay for her extra tutoring. They pay for her therapies. I'm saying she qualified for. She's not the only kid in the state that's getting that kind of money, that kind of funding. They made her a playground in her backyard, so it could help her motor skills. That's one kid. That's a Medina Shel Chesed, unbelievable. And we have to be Makir Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're putting us in the Medina Shel Chesed, and thank the government of the United States of America, whether we are happy with whoever's in office or not. It doesn't make a difference. Bottom line is, we have to be thankful. I'll tell you more. I live in Israel, 6,000 miles away, and I'm going to file taxes soon in America and get money from the United States government because I'm a citizen of America. Per child, I'm going to get $1,000 a kid for being an American citizen. There are thousands of other American citizens in this country that don't live in America at all, but they're citizens of America, and they get money, checks a year. I don't know what it's called, child income something, credit, whatever, lawyer there.
Money.
It's called money. It's a maximum, I think, of 5 kids. That's chesed. Chesed, go. Why? Because I'm a citizen of America. I deserve money. What am I doing for America right now? I mean, I hope something. I'm hopefully teaching some American students. What am I doing for America? Nothing. But that's chesed. But at the same time, Rosai, hear me out. You have to learn from Nagata. When Nagata talks to us, that's to keep us alive. We shouldn't get too comfortable. Anywhere. In any gullus that we're in, we shouldn't get too comfortable. Even in America. We could live there. We should enjoy life there. We should have a great time, whatever. We should have a tlacha there. We can make a good parnasa there. But we can never, Abosai, get too entrenched in any gullus. That's the beginning, chas v'shalom, of the end of Klal Yisrael. Historically, that's how it was. Klal Yisrael gets too comfortable, too close to Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov said. I'm coming down lagur ba'aretz banu. And they were there for hundreds of years. They were lagur ba'aretz. The mission statement was, we're not coming to get comfortable, we're not coming to establish roots here. We're coming here just for what we have to do. Vayter. The Mesei Ma'at. What's the Mesei Ma'at mean? We came with a few. Kamash and Amar. 70. 70 souls came down to Mitzrayim. The Atah, and now, Samcha Hashem Elokecha Kechochvei Hashemayim LaRov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us from 70 souls and made us into the stars in the sky. I'll do one more passage in the Agada, maybe two more. One more. Vayisham L'goy. What does it mean, Vayisham L'goy? Melamed, say Chazal. Shai Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham. Could someone please translate that for me?
They were perfect then?
They were Mitzuyanim.
You're a nation. They didn't say like
that. Oh, very good. So like this. A few pshatim in Mitzuyanim. Number one, Malam Yishayi Yisrael Mitzuyanim Shah means?
Found.
That they were clearly marked. A tzion on a kever, I will say, when we go to a kever, the tombstone is called a tzion. Tzion HaKever. Tzion is a marking. Great. Tzion is a marking. They were marked there. They were distinguished. They stood out intentionally. We know the Chazal said that even though they were... What? I said spit out? No, I said they were... What did I say? Not spit out, but I said they were sticking out. Right? Right. They were sticking out, meaning they stuck out. They were distinguished over there in Mitzrayim. Even though they were enveloped in the culture of Mitzrayim, we'll discuss that later, but they didn't change a few things. They didn't change their names, they didn't change their clothes, and they didn't change their native tongue. Lo shinu l'shonam, they didn't change... Medrash, the Medrashim say. They didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothes, and they didn't change their names. So they were Mitzuyanim. They stood out. And there's another pshat over here, Bosai. What's Mitzuyan mean? When you get a test, on a greater test,
Mitzuyan.
What does it mean?
Amazing.
It means amazing. Did a great job. And I mark your tests, hopefully, and the ones that are coming up end of this week, this learning week, I hope to write down Mitzuyan on a lot of test grades, Mitzuyan. Mitzuyan. What's Mitzuyan? Mitzuyan means they were great. They were not just distinguished in the sense of stuck out, but they had distinguished grades. Kaviyachol, like they were great. They were mitzuyan, even in Mitzrayim. And I think Rabbi Yossi, maybe, I don't know if this is true, but I think both pshatim come together. I think it's a mark of greatness for a person to be able to hold on and distinguish himself, even when the society around him is pushing another way. For a person to walk into the market, to Wall Street, I'm not saying you have to do this. If you walk on Wall Street and you proudly wear a yarmulke on your head, that takes greatness. Proudly to wear it. So you're distinguished. Right. Like you have a yarmulke. Right. So it takes... Me and Ellie and you, right? Those are the boys in our family that have yarmulkes, right? Right. But I think the two pshatim come together. The fact that we stuck out, and the fact that there was a certain amount of greatness over here, they're not different pshatim. It's mitzuya. Why were they mitzuya? Why are they great?
Really,
because to stick out when everything else is pushing another way is a sign of greatness. You follow me, or both side? You hear the word? In other words, you got to be strong. You got to be. Wow! Be careful. It's dangerous. You gotta be mitsuyan. You gotta be excellent to be able to be distinguished when everything around you is pushing you to assimilate and to become one with the nation around you, and you still want to say, okay, I'm not letting up. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm staying strong. That's a mark of greatness, I think. And that's probably both pshatim are right. They were mitsuyanin. They stuck out. They were unique in their appearance. That's one pshat. That's more than that. It's not just they're unique in their appearance. Yitzchak Wexler. Yitzchak, what's up? Okay. We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon. Refuah Shleima. Bye-bye. He's a doctor. I'm also a doctor appointment now. Okay, let's finish up over here. One last thought on this. I think that's a nice pshat in Mitzuyanim. You hear this pshat? Both coming together. Distinguished and excellent. When you're distinguished, when you stick out, even when the times are tough, when the going gets rough, that's a sign of excellence. That's a pshat. I didn't see that anywhere, but I think there's some truth to it. See, sometimes on the fly is good. You get to think things over on the fly. It's sometimes nice. Okay. Let's do one more thought, and then we'll stop. Last thought for the day is as follows. Gadol Atzum. What's Gadol Atzum? Great and strong. Kemosh and Amar. Uvnei Yisrael. And my father said, he always does the following when he gets to this. Uvnei Yisrael. Paru. One. Vayishritzu. Remember this? You see, could you close your eyes in the business? Vayishritzu. Two. Vayirbu. Three. Vayatzmu. Four. Vimeod. Five. Meod. Six. How many babies were born at a time in the time?
Six.
Six. How do you see that in the pasuk? Paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu v'ol meod. That's six. Six. That's a remez to the fact that six were born over there at a time. Abosai, a very nice pshat. I think it's the Rashbam. We'll be down in 3 minutes. I think it might be the Rashbam. It's one of the mafarshim. I think it's the Rashbam al Torah that points out a beautiful thought over here. Hello, anybody here a twin in this room? Good.
My dad is twin.
Anybody know a triplet?
Yeah.
Anybody have triplets in the family? Elon's a triplet.
Dabber.
Anybody know a quadruplet?
They don't make those?
They're not so common. but they make them. They're still in print. They're still in the market.
They mean God.
So usually about the way it works is two, hopefully, you know, it's very, very shocked. I think we'll be healthy. Even with twins, though, it's not possible that they're going to both be healthy because they're fighting for the nutrients. So, and sometimes they're preemies, and when they're preemies, sometimes there's much more problems. When there's three children, it's even less likely that everything's going to be fine. And the more children usually that a woman has at the same time, the likelihood of the children being healthy and being strong is very, very unlikely, usually. But the pasuk here tells us just the opposite. Karu, vayishritzu. Vayirbu, vayatzmu. What's vayatzmu? They became strong, strengthening. Mo'od, very strong. As there were more children at the same time, it wasn't like, oh, the first kid or one kid was okay, but the other five were all, you know, like Nebuch kids, and all, you know, like, you know, they couldn't make it. Another chas v'shalom. The chiddush over here was there were six at a time,
and they were strong.
Whoa, that's a banger chiddush. Vayatzmu, mo'od, the Nisim over here in Mitzrayim was that there were so many, but they were all. Wow, you're doing a great job. They were Vayatsu Omo, they were strong, very, very strong. And finally, we'll end with this, in the same paragraph. Vatimalei Aretz Osam. What does it mean, Vatimalei Aretz Osam mean?
The land was filled with them.
The land filled them up. Now, there's a lot of things to say about that phrase also. What does it mean, Aretz Osam? But I'll tell you one shot. The Medrash is a Medrash, not a shot. The Medrash says, you know what happened? How they survive? The Medrash in Shir HaShirim says, in the Pasuk, Tachas HaTapuach Oraticha. Under the Tapuach, I awakened you. The Medrash says, what happened was, the husbands were so tired from the days of work, and they didn't want to come, and they couldn't even think about having children. They were so tired and drained, and emotionally drained, and physically drained. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the women were tzaddikas, and they wanted to keep Klal Yisrael alive, and they dressed up nicely when their husbands came home, and the Chazal say that they were able to have children, but when the children were born, they were scared the mitzvah were going to come and take them away. So the Medrash says that the ground opened up, and Bnei Yisrael, that the kids were swallowed up under the ground, and they were nurtured and raised and taken care of.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously provided for them. What does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly what kind of tunnels were under there. I can't describe to you exactly what this means. But the idea was, I'm not sure it's meant to be literal. I'm not sure it's meant to be literal. But the idea, the concept of Timalei Aretz Osam, means that even though by natural order of what was going on at the time, if there is something called natural order, they should have been totally destroyed. Even though they came out healthy and strong. But they should have been totally. But Hashem provided a miracle in their being raised. That Timalei Aretz Osam, that the land itself helped to raise them. What does that mean exactly? They got swallowed up and they got spat out exactly. I don't know exactly what happened. It doesn't say that in the Torah explicitly. But the idea, what's hinted at in the pasuk over here is Timalei Aretz Osam, is this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just make strong babies come out, but Hashem made strong babies come out, and Hashem also provided for them. Hashem took care of them. Hashem helped them become raised and strong and healthy babies that they should be able to survive and make it on their own. Abosa, that is the end of today's dosage of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the next